The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Shalom, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified, and they thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please join me in prayer. God of light and life, break open the good news for us. Meet us here in this broken world and remind us again of the power of light over darkness, of life over death. Help us to live with the eyes opened to the new life you offer us. Help us to live with eyes opened to the pain around us, that we might bring your hope to the world. Grant us peace. Amen. A very good morning to you all. I want to greet you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They were sitting around talking, no doubt about Jesus' death. And there was bizarre rumors circulating about his missing body. When he appears in their midst, out of seemingly nowhere. And they respond with terror, as any of us would do if our deceased loved ones suddenly show up in our living rooms. But let us begin a little bit from where we left 2 weeks ago. The disciples dismissed the testimony of the women who had been to the empty tomb as an idle tale. So in response to the testimony of the women, the disciples say they are out of their freaking minds. So the disciples have heard and dismissed the women's testimony. And then Peter ran to the tomb and confirmed at the very least that it's empty. On another account, two disciples on the road to Emmaus were encountered by Jesus. and they have retained to tell their tale. And now, Jesus yet appeared among them and invited them to touch him to dispel any doubts that they may have that he is real. And I want you to observe something here. There are three full stories to describe the process of the 11 disciples coming to grasp that Jesus was indeed alive and the world forever changed. Three stories. One thing I love about Luke's stories is that he grounds the divine revelation in a concrete and in the ordinary way. The Jesus of Easter is the Jesus of incarnation. The Jesus who grows in a womb, enters into the world through birth, sleeps in a feeding trough, and nestles at Mary's breast. The Jesus who soaks in the waters of baptism, hungers for bread in the Judean wilderness, weeps at his friend's grave, sweats blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and suffers death on a Roman cross. But I like this. Jesus says, it is I, myself. Hey, folks, it is me. It is I, myself. Jesus tells his wonderstruck disciples as they struggle to reorder all that they know about life and death. It is I, myself. It's me, Peter. It's me. Can't you see? It's me. The one whom you know, the one whom you love, the one you trust. Touch me and see. It's me. You know, when Luke writes these stories, he connects them very well. And I like this. Luke says, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Whilst in their joy, it's a mixed feelings here. Joy and wonder and doubt. Isn't it marvelous that they can be both joyful and disbelieving at the same time? Too scary, but too wonderful. Either way, it is hard to accept. So even those who saw the resurrected Jesus had had time to believe. But let me explain something a little bit here. Doubt is not an opposite of faith. Doubt, in fact, is probably a necessary ingredient of to faith. You know what? You are the people who have all kinds of questions and doubts, but still find joy and wonder in this message of good news about new life. But I want to tell you something. It's okay to doubt. Don't think that you are wrong when you doubt something. It's okay for the faith. And Jesus asked for something to eat. You know, I just picture Jesus in an American society and he asked for a tilapia fish. And he chose a piece of tilapia. Jesus is hungry. Jesus is hungry to share a meal, to celebrate a life, hungry to gather again with his friends, hungry for them to trust the life-giving power of God, hungry for them to become a new community of faithful, courageous living, hungry for them to break bread together and with strangers everywhere until strangers are strange no more. And this is very important, that the resurrected Messiah joins his disciples in one of the mostly earthly and everyday activities. He eats like we eat, just like we eat. Jesus turns their trauma into communion, their confusion into joy and peace. But three things that I want to explain what eating may imply in this text. Jesus eats. That implies the physical existence is real and significant. Jesus eats. That implies the real world is real to the resurrected Messiah as it is to us. The resurrected Messiah eats. That implies the resurrection works out its meaning in the real world, in us and around us. So, the resurrected Messiah engages the real, the physical, earthly, and social, political, economic, complicated world. The resurrected Messiah is hungry, is a hungry Jesus. He comes and feeds us with his bread and wine, his living and loving presence. You know, in this text, it was very important for Luke to reaffirm the humanity of Jesus. And I want to say this, to affirm the resurrection is not to affirm that Jesus is taken out of this world. Luke puts the risen Christ right back into the world. He shows up to be with us. And he says, see my hands and my feet and touch me. Luke is showing a world that this is where God is active and alive. And this is where people can know God and where God lives and with and empowers all people. Here, touch my hands and my feet. Jesus says to his disciples, get in touch with the physical scars, the bodily pain of the human beings. Touch the heads of the real people and you touch me. When you touch the heads of the people, you touch me. The resurrection of Jesus is God's definite offering of both the compassion and justice. All that has been broken, all that has been taken, all that has been mistreated or wronged and forgotten is restored in resurrection. Now, after taking pains to convince his friends that he is not a ghost, after guiding their grief-stricken hearts from terror and disbelief to wonder and joy, he gives them the new vocation. In six words, you are witnesses of these things. Even though the disciples don't believe, or at least experience faith as this mixture of joy and doubt and wonder, they are still called to be witnesses. My dear friends, part of being resurrection people is being witnesses. And what do I mean? Let me give an example this morning. These two weeks, there was a prosecution in Derek Chauvin's trial in Minnesota. They were 38 witnesses, and it took 11 days of giving testimonies of what they know, what they have seen, and what they have heard. They were experts in the law and also experts in the medical fraternity. Oh, by the way, one of them was a Zimbabwean born. That was interesting for me. A Zimbabwean born gave all the evidence and said, no, he died of heart, and he was one of those people who was far away from the rest. He's a Zimbabwean born in Bulawayo, and he did his education in South Africa. That was one thing that captures me in that testimony. But anyway, let me go back to my story. There were experts, both in the law and in the medical fraternity. But there were also non-experts. The witness, other witnesses, who knows nothing about the law or medical issues. But here's the thing. Our witnessing is not about the theological gurus or the pastors, the Imogens, the Kathleens. You are witnesses. Doesn't cause for you to be an expert. You are witness in every day and in what you do in every day. And what does this mean? Our witness, our testimony, is a fragile but powerful thing, it seems to me. We stand and say aloud what we have seen and heard, or what we believe we have seen and heard. Our speaking truth can change the course of histories. And it's true. It may be the worst absolute truth, or it may be only be the truth as I remember it, or it may be a combination of both. But by the way, I want you to get this. A witness in court is not a judge. Ours is to witness. It's not to condemn and to judge people in the world. Our duty, my dear friends, is to give testimony about Christ, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Our witness is such a fragile thing. And yet, Jesus says to his disciples, now, you are witnesses of these things, of Jesus' teaching and his healing, of his suffering and his dying, of the wounds in his hands and in his feet, and now of him standing among them alive. It is if to prove that alive he is, sharing in their meal with them. You are witnesses of these things, Jesus tells them. My dear friends, you are called to be witnesses to what God has done and is doing for us and all the world in and through Jesus. You know what? I actually think that we do witness almost every day, every time. Let me just mention some few things that you do almost every day, sometimes unconsciously or consciously. And what I mean is that we be witness of things that are important to us all the time. And we bear witness to the great movies or television programs that we have seen and we want others to enjoy. We bear witness to the accomplishments of our children, of our sports teams, etc. And we bear witness to the important events in our family or work lives. So we bear witness, that is, we tell someone about the things that matter to us all the time. Now, it's not really all that different when it comes to faith. No, witnessing does not mean shoving our faith in someone's throat or threatening them with the hellfire if they don't believe in what we believe. It's simply telling others where we sensed God at work, at home or at workplaces, at church, at school, through a stranger or a friend, a doctor or teacher or neighbor, even through ourselves. So, my dear friends, bearing witness is nothing more than saying what you think God is at work in your life and in the world. So, we bear witness every time. We are just not used to thinking that about doing it in terms of our faith. But as I conclude, my dear friends, let me say to you this morning, peace be with you. Jesus is in our midst. And when Jesus said, peace be with you, they realized, we know this greeting, we know it. But what is happening here? Jesus showed himself that I am in your midst. And I want to say this morning, Jesus is in our midst this morning. The truth is, he is every time when we gather, he is in our midst. Jesus always comes and stands in our midst of us. What are we going to do about it is the most important question. We must show the world that the risen Christ lives in us too. And we must actively witness his love, his joy, everything he has done for us and for the world. And our lives must be clear proof of the resurrection. But before I finish, let me give you a homework so that when we go to our coffee hour this morning, a good teacher will give an assignment. And let me give you an assignment this morning. During our coffee hour time, half hour time, right? I would like to ask you into your groups to share with each other somewhere you saw God at work. Just find something to share about it. Somewhere you saw God at work. My dear friends, may we therefore go out in the world, in our community, wherever, and be the witness and declare peace everywhere. Amen.